The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to your weekly dose of heart and soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance with your host, Jory Fisher. Jory and her guests will inspire you to discern your life's purpose and make a positive difference in the world around you. Now, here's Jory Fisher.
Hello and welcome to Heart and Soul. I'm Jory Fisher, your host. And joining us today, October 14th, 2009, is Christopher McCluskey from Edgar Springs, Missouri. Say hello, Chris.
Hey, gang.
I'd like to take a moment before we dive into our conversation with Chris to thank again the Voice America producers and staff for their outstanding quality of service. And I'd also like to thank our listeners for helping make Voice America the Internet's number one talk station. I do have an announcement, and that is that now that Heart and Soul is up and running, I am actively seeking sponsors for this show, which translates into advertising opportunities for you and underwriting for me. If you are interested or you know someone who might be, would you please shoot me an email at jory@joryfishercoaching.com. So again, why am I doing a show on purpose, passion, and perseverance? I'll give you three reasons. One, because I think many people in the world today are longing to make a difference but don't know how. Two, because I want you to be inspired by my guests who are doing their part to shed some grace on the world around them. And three, because, like the good Methodist, the founder, John Wesley, I want to inspire you, my listeners, to do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Amen. Now, what you can expect from this show is a spirited conversation with one or two dynamic guests each week, listener interaction, and a challenge to live life like you mean it. And regarding last week's show, the response was delightful. Jeffrey's interview clearly struck a chord. Several listeners wrote me that his message on how to live your life on purpose was exactly the message they needed to hear. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to click on the archived link, Purposeful Living Now, and listen to my conversation with Jeffrey Van Dyke. I would now like to introduce you to another dear friend who's joining us from his ranch in the foothills of the Ozark Mountains. Professional certified coach Christopher McCluskey is president of Coaching for Christian Living, an international coaching service, and is the director of the world's first distinctively Christian coach training program. Chris also co-founded the American Board of Christian Sex Therapists and the Institute for Sexual Wholeness, a master's-level training program for professional counselors. He's a popular speaker and author and is a former psychotherapist board-certified in sex therapy. He and his wife, Rachel, are sought-after media personalities, especially after publishing their highly acclaimed marriage book, When Two Become One. Chris and Rachel have 7 children, ranging in age from 2 to 18. Welcome, Christopher.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Jory.
Well, we are really glad to have you, and listeners, I have to tell you, you are in for a treat. So, Chris, I'd like to just get this started with you explaining how did you get where you are today, and I'd love it if you'd start with your sex therapy practice in Tampa, Florida. That sounds rather interesting. I'd have to say that's rather unusual for a Christian practitioner to specialize in. Is that right?
That would be a safe bet, yeah. I have rarely seen such a great conversation starter or stopper. People would ask what kind of work I was doing. Mm-hmm. It was certainly not a career goal of mine. I did not set into the field of psychotherapy intending to ever become a sex therapist. I think it was probably occasionally there to my parents' chagrin and horror that was the path that was pursued. But in terms of how I got where I am, all I can say is it's the Lord's grace. And he has his way as we seek him and allow him to lead us as he would see fit. And the short story is that having worked for several years in various agencies and hospital settings as a psychotherapist, not distinctly Christian settings, just a general, you know, either governmental kind of a facility, long-term or inpatient or outpatient, or private outpatient kinds of settings, eventually I established my own private practice. And there I decided to target directly those persons who hold the same faith values that I do as Christians. So it was called Christian Care Counseling Centers. It was in Tampa Bay, Florida. Wonderful years of practice there. And what I began to notice almost immediately was that many couples were coming. Most of what I began to see was couples and greatly enjoyed doing marriage counseling. But a lot of, when you dug through some of the surface things, a lot of what they were struggling with ended up being in the areas of intimacy in the relationship on all planes, and sometimes most particularly on the sexual plane. Mm-hmm. So though it wasn't something I was pursuing, it was something that was being presented. There were lots of struggles, lots of hurt, abuse from the past, terrible messages about self. I suppose if that's the area of our being where we can most intimately connect to another, it's also surely the area where we can be most deeply wounded. And that was what I kept seeing.
Well, it sounds like you were really enjoying it. So what happened?
Yeah, I was greatly enjoying it. It's not fun to work with people in pain. That part was not fun. But the privilege of being able to meet people in that space of intimacy and be an agent for healing and seeing when one area that's so central like that, like our sexuality, not just sex acts themselves or our body parts, but our whole sense of self as male and as female and how we relate with those of our same gender and opposite gender, that space, when you can bring healing there, has such dramatic ripple effects in every other area of our being and of relationship that it was wonderfully fulfilling work.
Right.
It was a privileged season of my life. And so I did not move on from that into the professional life coaching, which I've done now for these last 11 years, because of any dissatisfaction with the work, but instead because of a personal vision that my wife Rachel and I were beginning to see develop more and more for the raising of our own children and for the life that we felt called to as a couple.
How many children did you have while you were living in Florida?
By the time we moved, which was the move with the intention of going full-time into coaching, we had just had our fourth child. So most of the time that our vision was becoming clearer and clearer on the personal front, we had three children. The oldest would have been about five, and by the time we moved, she was seven. So for a couple of years there, we began recognizing that though I was greatly fulfilled on the professional front with this private practice, increasingly we were seeing, as kiddos came along, that we desired to be able to spend as much time with them, to be as much of a shaping influence in their lives as we could. We started talking pretty seriously about homeschooling. We kind of backed into it saying, hey, how badly could we mess up kindergarten, you know? And then after kindergarten, we said, well, okay, that was all right. How badly could we mess up first grade? And by then, we were hooked. We fell in love with homeschooling and the whole lifestyle that it seemed to offer of being able to be much more active in our children's lives throughout their lives, with the exception of Daddy. Because, of course, in the morning I was heading out as everybody was waking up and waving bye-bye at the window bleary-eyed and coming home at dinner time. And though I could keep good hours for the evenings and weekends, still, there was a great deal of the children's waking time and the time that family was together that I was the missing piece. And Rachel and I just began to, I suppose, muse and dream at first, but then to get more serious about maybe embracing that dream and shaping it into a vision and then putting feet to the vision and making it a mission and carrying it out. What would it look like if I could work at home? What would it look like if we didn't have to be in a densely populated metropolitan area where we could draw clients from, but I could work with people from anywhere in the world? That was where coaching plugged in, and that was what prompted the eventual move out here to the ranch.
Mm-hmm. So your vision shaping really started by, well, of course, the prompting and the love of your children, that was a big part of it. But also you, in consultation with your wife, Rachel, actually asking questions and putting together, seeing a vision start to come together with respect to what you wanted to see down the road how it, how your existing life could actually be even better.
Yeah, it was about, that's exactly right. It was about asking questions and daring to stay in the questions, not to discount them as crazy, which, of course, many of our well-intentioned friends, when we finally told them what we were looking at doing, closing down the practice, moving from Florida out to the middle of nowhere on a dirt road and doing what? Life coaching was a brand new field. They thought we were crazy, and I can understand why. But we didn't dismiss it as crazy, as a pipe dream, as, oh, yeah, that'd be nice in some other life. But neither did we immediately begin to just act upon it and kind of go off half-cocked. We waited, and we prayed, and we talked, and we made lists, and we spent time fasting and journaling, and just being in those questions. What if?
Mm-hmm.
What could
mm-hmm.
it look like? How would things be different? What would it take to make that happen? Who could help us? What would be necessary? What's the time frame? Lots and lots of questions, Jory, and the more that we camped out in those questions,
mm-hmm.
the more clear the vision became.
Well, Chris, by the time you and Rachel and your four children packed up and left for Missouri, how would you describe your vision? What was it?
The vision was to be able to have me work at home. We neither one felt peaceful about me having a counseling practice out of our home. There are,
right.
of course, persons who you wouldn't mind to have come to your home if you were a professional therapist. There are others who you would prefer that they couldn't even find you, but, of course, nowadays, anybody could find you on the net if they want to, but we just didn't want them coming that much into our space. But coaching, being something that works with people at a stable, healthy, functioning place in life, there's no immediate crisis that brings them to hiring a coach, nothing that's a problem that needs to be fixed, per se, or needs to be healed, those people are in a good, safe place and, therefore, can work by telephone. They don't need to be face-to-face and for the therapist
mm-hmm.
to be able to eyeball them and assess all those subtle cues of facial expressions and body language. So we realized that I could work with them via telephone. That meant we could live anywhere. That made a dirt road possible. That made a kind of a work that I could do that would allow me to be at home. And that then made the family farm that my mother grew up on as a little girl out in the middle of the foothills of the Ozark Mountains a real possibility to consider.
That's fabulous. Well, I know our listening audience will want to hear more about what that actually looked like when you got there. So right now we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to discuss how you, Chris, have managed to be true to your purpose, to your vision, despite some very serious setbacks, including what it was like, or what it is like, to live life in the middle of nowhere, tornadoes, and Lyme disease. This is Jory Fisher and my guest, Chris McCluskey. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, no. It's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If you can't put down a good mystery novel, you'll want to check out Mystery Matters with Fran Stewart. Each week, you'll hear from the top mystery writers of our time. From suspense thrillers to forensics, you'll explore all of the categories that make a great mystery work. Not only will we discuss the secrets of the story, but we'll go behind the novel to sort out all of the pieces of the puzzle. Broadcast live each Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. Mystery Matters,
where murder is an open book.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory at joryfishercoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. We've been speaking with professional certified coach Christopher McCluskey about his transition from psychotherapist to Christian life coach and director of the Professional Christian Coaching Program. Chris, I think our audience might want to hear what it's like when you first, at least when you first arrived in Edgar Springs, Missouri, what it's like living in the middle of nowhere, and what happens to you when you got there, and how you've been able to stay true to your vision despite some pretty serious setbacks.
There were some serious setbacks, that's for sure, and I think, surely, that's a good principle for us to just consider in life, that anything really worth pursuing, anything about which you're truly passionate, is going to come at a cost. And so you count the cost ahead of time, and then you try not to be terribly surprised when the cost is maybe even higher than you thought it might be. I have read the quote that, you know, I can't change the winds, but I can adjust my sails.
Mm.
And so as the winds of life blew against us on this move, some of them we anticipated, some we couldn't possibly, literally one that was a tornado wind blowing, you can't anticipate those things. You adjust your sails as best you can, and you ride them out. The move was rocky. It was a smooth transition, closing down the practice, selling the home, packing up, and moving up here to the farm. And yet, when we got here, one of the very first key pieces to being able to make a coaching business like I just described actually work, as you can imagine, is having telephone access and internet access. To my great horror, though I thought I had checked out plenty of things, it never considered to me to check whether or not the telephone lines were no longer party lines. I mean, I had only seen those on Mayberry RFD, you know, when 5 to 10 people could be on the same telephone line. Here they had only replaced them 2 years previous, and all they didn't actually replace the lines, they just did away with the party service. So the lines could not handle even the most remote dial-up function. There was no internet access, so I had entered a black hole. Now, the internet was fairly new, but still, it was key to establishing a successful coaching business because your clientele need to be able to have access to you by email through the time in between their scheduled telephone calls. And here I was, practice is gone, no other source of income, settled down here and ready. I had simply given my clients another phone number to reach me on and said, as soon as I get set up for internet, we'll be good to go. And found out I couldn't set up internet. It was more than 2 months before we got internet capability just through plain old dial-up. And it was then that that big wind of a tornado blew against us, having lost about half of my clientele because of being inaccessible to them. We had a tornado come through about a mile north of us. It did not destroy our property, downed some trees and all. But what it did do was send a surge, a huge surge, across the electrical lines. And I was working my business out of the farmhouse that my grandfather had built here 60-some years previous, which was an ungrounded electrical system. again, without my having realized it. So that surge came down the line and fried my computer, my internet access, my fax machine, my telephone. Everything was gone. Printer, starting over at ground zero. It was 5 months of being here on the farm before we had everything fully back up and operational in a grounded electrical system kind of a setting that was stable and functioning. And I had one client left from when I was in Florida. So it was a rough start, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. And Rachel wasn't working outside the home. She wasn't employed. So you had the only income?
That's right. We had made the tough choice early on to have her stay home when we began having kids. Rachel had been a teacher in the public schools for several years before we started having children. So she had been staying home from the very first when we now had four. She was certainly not working outside the home. This was going to be the only source of income, and instead there was no source of income. So it was a scramble. We were quickly burning through our nest egg and the proceeds that we had made from the sale of our house and such. It was a rough start.
But clearly it turned around. Chris, listeners out there, has a very, very successful, thriving practice. It's doing beautifully. Do not feel sorry for him. But God bless you for just hanging in there. So would you be so kind as to share with our listening audience what your purpose is and how you discovered it?
Yeah, my purpose really has to do with family. You can imagine now having seven children. I'm figuring pretty much the whole of my time here on this planet, I'm probably going to be raising children and or turning right around and helping to raise grandchildren. We won't be empty nesting until well into our 60s, at least for the last child. Our youngest right now is just 2 years old. So everything that I am about has to do with family. My mission in life is to glorify God by serving my wife, Rachel, and our children. My vision, if I do that fairly well, is that at the end of my life, as I look back on it, I would see that I have been able to raise up a close-knit family, something that sadly is oftentimes hard to find in this culture today, but a close-knit family who deeply love each other and the Lord and who enjoy each other and the Lord.
Mm.
So when people ask me, what's my life purpose? Just give me the one sentence, what's your life purpose? I simply say, I am the water my family drinks every day. If I hold that metaphor in my mind,
mm-hmm.
that I'm the headwaters from which the family drinks, I'm the only source that Rachel has primarily to go to for her sustenance. I heard someone say years ago, if you want to gauge the measure of a man, look into his wife's eyes.
Oh, wow.
He is the source, or I am the source, rather, that she draws from for stability, provision, protection for the family, and the children as well. And some days that water's pure and clear, and I'm so thankful. And other days that water's got kind of a bad taste to it, or sometimes a bitter taste.
Yeah.
You know that sometimes that water can be poison when people are not in a good space at all.
That's
but
right.
It's still the water they have to drink from.
Well, Chris, you've certainly continued to face some challenges, and I know it can't always be easy to keep that crystal, beautiful water as clear as you want it to be. Would you please share with our listeners some of the biggest challenges that you still encounter to living out your purpose?
The biggest challenge is now, as you said, the Lord has tremendously blessed this work. It's way beyond any of the wildest dreams that Rachel and I had ever imagined. And fantastic, thank you, Lord. But that is also a problem. It's the right kind of problem to have, but with that kind of success comes the challenge of busyness. And so I think in that sense, I'm probably in pretty good company with most of our listeners right now. The challenge of the 21st century is simplify, simplify, simplify. Slow down. Don't work so much on just stress management. Work on stress reduction. How do we get rid of? How do we pare down? How do we keep the main thing the main thing? That is the constant challenge that I think all of us face and certainly that we face here. So keeping those priorities in front of us, keeping that vision, those values that undergird that vision before us, and moving as proactively toward those things that matter the most, that's probably the biggest daily challenge. That's a classic Stephen Covey, Seven Habits kind of a practice.
Right, right. Okay. So busyness, what else?
With busyness with seven children, you can imagine there's lots of different agendas being operated on, and they do span all the way across, from 18 years old preparing to go off to college down to 2 years old still finishing up being in diapers. So planning, being intentional, and the left hand knowing what the right hand's doing, part of how Rachel and I address that is each morning, Monday through Friday, starts out with a meeting with the family, just a half hour, but at 7 a.m., we're all sitting, not bleary-eyed, clear-eyed, breakfast already eaten and cleaned up, as if the kids were running out to catch the bus at 7 o'clock, but instead, they're dressed and ready for the day, and we're having a family planning meeting to be sure that we all know who has what going on today and next week and next month, and keeping our agenda moving so that family always moves in a general direction, even while individual members are going off doing other things.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, well, my husband and I have seven children between us, and I have to tell you, the listening audience, we've never had a 7 a.m. Monday morning meeting. But hats off to you, Chris. Well, Chris, I really would like you to talk about Lyme disease. There may be some listeners who know exactly what that is. I have some dear friends out there who are suffering from it. But would you please just say a little bit about how that has affected you, how it's strengthened you in many ways?
Sure, Jory. That's another one of those wins that you can't expect. You just have to adjust your sails to it. And I had never heard of Lyme disease myself before moving here to Missouri, and I didn't hear about it then until it was apparently already very much present in my body and ravaging my body. It is now systemic for me. It's in all of the organs of my body and in my central nervous system. So it's one of those things that once it gets in you through the bite of a tick, which ticks are kind of endemic to this area, it's the bite of a deer tick, and it infects you with a spirochete, which multiplies and parasitically feeds off of parts of your body, and so things start to not work like they used to work, whatever the major functions of that organ are. So before we got me diagnosed, and then even after we did, when we finally realized it's not cancer, it's not half a dozen other things, it's Lyme disease, and started to actually treat that, finally we didn't have to go just after symptoms, but we could go to the root of it, I was so debilitated by the disease as to be having to use a walker to transfer just from my bed to the bathroom and then up the two flights of stairs to my office in the house. Thank goodness I wasn't having to try to do a commute anywhere. I couldn't have done it. Simply
right.
Could not have held down a normal-type job. I was on an oxygen tank during the day and using a machine at night, not to breathe for me, but to help me get enough oxygen to my brain while my body began the healing process. You can probably tell now through my voice, there's strength back. I am not free of Lyme. By the time it gets to stage 5, the final stage of it where mine was, they don't figure you'll ever get rid of it. But it is in a state of being very much controlled, and we've regained a lot of the ground that was lost. I can actually go jogging now. I can work out. I can live life in very many ways in a pretty normal way. I have certain medical treatments I do during the day, a diet that I have to watch very carefully. But aside from that, the Lord's really given me back my life. The challenge of all that, as you can imagine, was still having to be that water from which the family drinks every day. And that if it was a well, the well was pretty dry. There wasn't a lot to draw from, and maybe I wasn't giving poison water, but when they were scooping out the water, it had some silt in it, some mud in it, because there was so little from which to draw. So the challenge
and yet at
for
the
all
same time, Chris, I've seen pictures of you with your children around you, helping administer the medicine to you, and it's so touching because you could see that the whole family is pulling together to support you.
That's it. The family pulls together and does whatever the family needs to do to get through something. This didn't just impact me. It impacts everyone. So it's not just my battle. It's everyone's battle, and they all really have pitched in beautifully to bring me back.
That's wonderful. Well, Chris, I need to move on a little bit. We're coming up upon another quick break. Listeners, if you have questions for Chris, I encourage you to call 866-472-5788. If you have questions or perhaps comments that you want to share with me now or later, please email them to jory@joryfishercoaching.com. And if you do email me, would you please tell me which, if any, of your comments may be read on air? And if I may tell our listening audience your name and state, I don't want to violate any confidentiality. After this quick break, Chris will explain to you what coaching and coaching from a Christian perspective is all about. This is Jory Fisher. My guest is Christopher McCluskey. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back. Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
I'm Selma, and I'll be your server this evening. The special is pasta primavera, and it comes with a salad. Oh, and by the way, I abuse my children. Lots of times, I beat them for even the smallest reason. When they really get on my nerves, I lock them in the closet for a few hours.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize, perhaps then more people would report it. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit www.childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children, and we can help you. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So remember, 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit www.childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
While parenting has its joys, it's also stressful. If you'd like help finding practical solutions to the challenges you're facing, listen to Real Parents, Real Solutions with host Tony Shuda. You'll leave with options you can try with your kids right after the broadcast. Tony will interview experts and real parents for real solutions to problems that will reduce your stress and make your family happier. Call in, write in. This show is for you. Real Parents, Real Solutions airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory at joryfishercoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul. We've been talking with Chris McCluskey about how he lives out his purpose despite some debilitating health challenges. In this segment, he'll tell you how Christian life coaching can motivate you to make a difference. Chris, would you please explain what is life coaching anyway?
Yeah, life coaching is a relatively new field. It's part of the people helping professions, and it draws heavily from the kind of work that I did as a therapist or a counselor all of those years, except that clientele are not in any kind of a crisis point. They don't come because they need to. They come because they want to. And what they're wanting is to be able to get clearer about a proactive vision for life. If you think about counseling or therapy as being a reactive, oh my goodness, there's a problem, we have to do something, then coaching is, gee, you know, I've always felt that one day I would, and then you fill in the blank. Or, you know, I know now what I don't want in life or marriage or with my parenting of my kids or in my career or with regard to my health or whatever. I know what I don't want. I don't know what I do want. I'm not clear on the vision, or maybe I'm clear on the vision, but I've set it as a New Year's resolution for the last 5 years and I'm still not following through on it. Those kinds of desires, passions, hopes, wishes, dreams, fantasies, that kind of stuff is why people will hire a coach. Because they determine, you know what, this is the year I'm finally going to do something about that. I wonder if there's anyone out there that can help with that kind of thing. That's why people will hire a life coach, like they might hire a fitness coach to help them finally get into physical shape, or a financial planner to help them finally get their finances under control.
So really, what you described in the prior segments about your big move from Tampa to Edgar Springs, that would be the kind of thing where a coach would have been helpful, and I guess you sort of coached yourself, but it wasn't that you were running from anything, it wasn't that you had anything in your past that you were trying to heal, you wanted to go from good to great, basically.
Correct. As I said, I was very, very happy on the professional front, and we were in no state of dismay on the personal front. We had a beautiful Florida home with in-ground pool, wonderful neighborhood, active in our church and community, family living within 20 minutes of us. It was a very, very nice space. But like you said, going from good to great, from best to better or to best, that's why people will hire a life coach. And actually, we did not just coach ourselves. That was when I hired my first coach. When we had been with those questions and fleshed out a vision clearly enough that we felt pretty certain this is the direction we want to go, I hired my first coach and said, this is the transition I want to go through. Help me with that process. Since then, till now, which is almost 12 years, I have almost always been with a coach. Now, I've had five different coaches during all this transition. But part of why we're able to live the very purposeful, intentional life that we do and keep adjusting those sails when life hands us a rough wind is because being in that coaching relationship is a touchstone. It's a chance for me, not even so much with my coach, but through my coach, to get back in touch with me, with my passion, vision, purpose, mission, with what we feel like God's actually called us to and why that's so critical. That coaching call that's scheduled 2, 3, 4 times a month, the prep work that goes into the emails prior to those calls, the accountability that's involved, the constantly clarifying and unpacking what a new season of life can look like, that's the power of the coaching relationship. And so I practice what I preach. I'm almost always with a coach because I'm better when I'm with a coach. More intentional.
Well, could you explain something? Your business is called Coaching for Christian Living. And so you hold yourself out as a distinctively Christian coach, right?
Right, right.
So what's the
significance? And there, I hope I don't come across as heavy-handed with the Christian piece. I know that we've probably said that word 25 times on this call today. But because my faith is something that is not a Sunday kind of a thing, it is very much a core piece of my definition of self and my sense of purpose and calling for my life. There are, of course, many, many others who hold the same view of their faith. It's not just, oh, yeah, well, I happen to be of this denomination or that church or this belief. But it really does define who they are and what they believe their life is about. Those people tend to seek out a Christian coach, if they can find such a person, who already holds and honors their faith, their worldview. It just makes the work a whole lot easier. You come together on somewhat of a common plane. You're not having to begin at the very beginning of, gee, what are the things that you hold to as being of value, or what's your moral code that you ascribe to and all. So, yeah, I put myself out there in the marketplace distinctly for persons seeking a Christian coach.
But if somebody is not a Christian, but they don't have any aversion to working with a Christian coach, how would you coach them, or would you coach them?
Oh, absolutely I would coach them. And I do get calls occasionally from people, much to my delight. In spite of having branded myself with a name, Coaching for Christian Living, sometimes people will say, you know, I just want to work on spiritual growth. Can we do that without me feeling like you're pushing your brand of religion on me, or you're being preachy? And I will be quick to say, oh my goodness, I'm strong in my faith, but I hope I don't come across as preachy or pushing something on someone else. So, yeah, I meet them where they are. That's one of the beauties of coaching, is that the coach is not the expert on your life plan or mission or calling or faith.
Yeah.
They're their expert in questioning and helping to clarify and listening skills. But nobody else could know those unique things to you but you. And the coach helps draw those out.
Well, would you please say something about your crash course on Christian coaching for anybody who's listening who might be interested in becoming a coach and is intrigued by the idea of Christian coaching?
Yeah, thanks, Jory. Actually, that's something that's free and available for any of the listeners who are interested, particularly because I frequently get calls from people saying, hey, I'm not sure I want to coach with you. I'm interested in being a coach. How do I go about looking into that profession? There is a free 80-minute downloadable file on one of my websites. It's at professionalchristiancoaching.com. Professionalchristiancoaching.com. You just click on the little sign up for the newsletter, and you can download for free that 80-minute talk called A Crash Course on Christian Coaching, and it will give you a very nice overview of the field, the training that's available, certification, accreditation for schools, things about the marketing, etc. So a lot of, that's a good place to start, and it's free.
Okay, well, good. And what would you like to say with respect to the book that you and Rachel wrote together, if any of our listeners are interested in that? Can you give them
Thanks. Yeah, When Two Become One, you mentioned it in the first portion when we were talking about my work as a Christian counselor with issues of sexuality. The subtitle of When Two Become One is Enhancing Sexual Intimacy in Marriage. And so it is a marriage enrichment book. It's specifically about sexual intimacy, and that is intimacy on all planes of the relationship and then is expressed through our sexuality. Big difference between simply having sex and truly making love. Culture uses those terms interchangeably. Very different sense of the spirit of the act between simply having sex and truly making love. So the book is available actually at all Christian bookstores. You can get it at Barnes & Noble or online at Amazon.com. Anybody can
Okay.
pretty much anywhere.
And Chris, that's an arena where you could actually coach people on as well. I mean, you're no longer serving, you're no longer practicing as a sex therapist. However, you do coach in that arena. Is that correct?
That's right. And just in marriage enrichment. That's right. Not for sexual brokenness, trauma, abuse in the past, those kinds of issues, sexual addictions and such. But couples who are saying, you know, we're fine, everything, the equipment works, but, boy, there's got to be more to it than this. Or they're just wanting to enhance and enrich the intimacy they have on all other planes of the relationship. I get to do a good bit of that kind of marriage enrichment coaching, and that's wonderful. When there's no crisis, but they know it could be richer and better.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Would you be able to give an example or two? I mean, obviously you can't identify anybody, but what is a change that you've seen in coaching couples in the sexual intimacy arena?
It would be couples, for example, where maybe after recovering from surgery for some kind of a prostate problem and things are not as natural as they used to be, or some other kind of a surgical intervention, a hysterectomy or change of life, changes in our body function, and they're just saying, okay, so it's no longer just about sex and arousal. We are enjoying the idea of going deeper. We don't know what that looks like, and we don't want to just start popping around to spice things up in the bedroom by, I don't know, viewing pornography together or something like some people might recommend. So it's enhancing the intimacy on all planes and recognizing that then when we are, if you will, naked physically, we're also naked spiritually and naked emotionally before each other. When all three of those come together, it's beautiful. Whether everything works like in the movies or not, it that doesn't matter.
Oh, that's great.
Beautiful growth work in that has nothing to do really with therapy or healing. It's just all about growing, maturing.
Well, thank you. Well, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we'll discuss the legacy that Chris wants to leave, as well as the serious business of play. This is Jory Fisher in Lynchburg, Virginia, and Chris McCluskey in Edgar Springs, Missouri. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw six war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky, the eaters of men. cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Are you destined to be an everyday change agent in your organization, your relationships, your community? Learn how to become one when you tune in to The Change Agent on the Voice America Variety Channel. Justin A. Flunder, the Chief Change Agent Leader of the Flundonian Group, will help you examine every aspect of your personal and professional life. By observing your own thoughts, words, and actions, you will become the everyday leader that you are meant to be. The Change Agent airs live Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to jory@joryfishercoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul. You just heard Chris McCluskey discuss life coaching and Christian life coaching. And now we'll discuss Chris's desired legacy and the serious business of play. Chris, what legacy do you want to live and why is that important to you?
You know, like I said about vision at the beginning of the call, my vision is to be able to look back on my life and see a close-knit family who've been raised up and deeply love each other and the Lord and enjoy each other and the Lord. And I think one of the key words in there is enjoy. I don't want one of these stuffy, sour-faced, gee, we've done everything right and appropriate, but we lost our joy somewhere along the way, kind of a quasi-Christian life. I want people who are characterized by peace and joy. And so with that, part of the legacy that I hope I'm weaving now and will leave one day is that we're leading a full and abundant life as a family, being romanced by God,
to
the enjoyment of His gifts and His creation, which are, of course, all around us here on this little dirt road out in the country. I'm looking out the window at the chickens in the yard and the horses in the pasture, and the kids have a bunch of little pygmy goats they raise up on the hill. There's geese and ducks and turkeys even that we raise, and dogs and cats, of course, and just the beauty of the outdoors. That's the Lord romancing us, and it's so easy to miss life, whether it's nature like I'm describing or whatever else our life is full of. I hope I leave a legacy of people who knew what it was to be fully alive, to be in the moment and soaking up the moment and very aware of God's presence and delight in that moment and delighting in our delight.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, related to that, Chris, I'm getting a message that we have a caller, Carol from Texas, and I think she has a question that might relate to how you handle some of the ups and downs of life. So let's go ahead with that question.
Chris, I've so enjoyed hearing you this morning. You were so upbeat. Do you ever get discouraged? And if so, how do you turn that around?
Oh, boy. Yes, I sure do. I sure do. Some of the darkest days of the Lyme disease, when it actually looked like we were going to be saying goodbye to me, there were months there where each night Rachel and I would kiss each other goodnight. We knew, sometimes we'd say it out loud and sometimes we could just read it in each other's eyes, that this might be the last time I see you this side of heaven, and I'll see you on the other side. Those were very dark days, and there was great discouragement, and certainly the challenge of establishing the business and raising children and cultural movements and all kinds of things get discouraging. For me, a key piece before even grounding with the family on the way the family's day will go is grounding by myself before the Lord. So I'm really disciplined about rising early enough in the morning to have a wonderful time of intimacy with the Lord first, being sure that I'm in my Bible readings and prayer and meditation, sometimes petitioning for things, other times just listening. But being really oriented there first and grounded there first before I go running off into the world on my own agenda, so to speak. So it's there that I gain fresh perspective, kind of put things back in perspective, reorient about what's really important and don't lose sight of that. And don't let the discouragement turn into despair. Discouragement's normal. Despair, that's trouble.
Yep. Bless you.
Carol, thank you. Wow, wonderful. I'm really glad she asked you that question, Chris.
Yeah,
I'm sure
too.
A lot of people are wondering the same thing. Well, we just have a little bit of time, just a couple of minutes, but can you explain, I know you're so intent on this one, can you explain what you mean by the serious business of play?
Yeah, I've given whole seminar presentations on this and written sections of book chapters on the serious business of play. As you can hear, abundant life, soaking in the moment, being romanced, being fully present, enjoyment of life, those are key themes for me, and that requires play. When we were kids, we all knew how to play, and most of us somewhere along the lines kind of forgot, and I think oftentimes now what we call play could better be characterized maybe as escape oftentimes. We work so hard that when we get some free time, we veg out, we just shut down. We surf the web, we flip through a magazine we've read 10 times before, we channel surf on the television set. We do stuff just to kind of veg out. That's not play. Play replenishes. You feel yuckier after 3 hours of watching television than you did when you sat down in terms of being energized or having your mind refreshed. Real play requires something of you. You might work up a sweat. You might invest some money that other people would say was crazy. It's going to take some time, some effort. But as you really play at hobbies, music, creating things, being out of doors, hiking, fishing, hunting, biking, whatever your thing is, as you really play, and play has a place of value in your life, it feeds your soul. If worship feeds our spirit, if work is what feeds our physical body by providing for us, play feeds our soul. That place of our mind, our will, and our emotions, our mind is clearer and sharper. Our emotions are more stable and healthy. We're more able to choose the life that we want to live and live it in a disciplined fashion when we've had a healthy dose of play. So it's critical for balance. And we make a real high priority as a family to always have plenty of activities scheduled that are just play. They don't earn money. They're not necessarily about something that the church is doing this week. It's about being fully alive.
Well, Chris, bless you, and I think I'm going to have you come back, and maybe we could do a whole program on play.
Ooh, okay.
Y'all, you've been listening to Heart and Soul. Our guest has been Christopher McCluskey, who has described to us the challenges and joys he's experienced while living life on purpose. To inquire about coaching with Chris, you may contact him at christian-living.com. Or for the free download of a crash course on Christian living, visit www.professionalchristiancoaching.com. Each week, Heart and Soul brings you people who are making a difference in their families, communities, and world, like Chris McCluskey and his beautiful wife, Rachel, and their seven children. Our guests next week are Stacy Garrett and Stormy Wooldridge, who will speak to you about their years of commitment to helping children who, through no fault of their own, cannot live with their own biological families. Chris, I want to thank you and our listeners, and I want to give you all a special blessing from the Book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And from me, may you have a blessed and purposeful week, and may you make a difference wherever you go. This is Jory Fisher with Heart and Soul. Please tell your friends about us and come back next week to hear Stacy Garrett and Stormy Wooldridge describe their work as directors of the Miller Home in Lynchburg, Virginia. Shalom.
Thank you for joining us on Heart and Soul, Reflections on Passion, Purpose, and Perseverance. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, when host Jory Fisher brings you another inspiring show. We'll see you then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.